Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh boy.
Good morning. Who knows what this is? Do you know what that means? The hand doing that? It means stop. Yep. That's a rule to keep us safe while we're crossing the road. And then when we see this one down here, it means we can walk, right? So it tells us we should be safe to cross the street. We may not always like our rules, but rules are there to keep us safe and to help us live together in peace and love with one another. God gives us some rules to worship only God, not to swear or use the Lord's name in vain, to respect our parents, to not lie, not to take those things that belong to other people, not to murder people, not to kill anyone, and to not really, really bad so much that it takes over our body, want something that belongs to somebody else. And God gives us all of these rules because God loves us, because God frees us. Let us pray. All loving and forgiving God, we thank you for rules that keep us safe and living together in peace and love. And we thank you for the grace that keeps us all in your care always. Amen. Go in peace. Grace and peace to you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. So what is this covenant life of get to and not got to? I mean, it's a pure distinction that we have in the way that we as Lutherans read like the Ten Commandments, the covenants that God gives, that we get to, we don't got to. I remember the first time I served communion. If you're a real rules person, you should put your fingers in your ears right now, because I wasn't ordained yet. I was in seminary, and I was working with some young adults over the summer, and they all sort of called me pastor here and there, and I would redirect them, no, I'm not a pastor yet, and they would come to find out, they were like, hey, we should do communion. We had the service and we should do communion. And I was like, sure, we should do communion, not thinking about, hey, there's no pastor here. And so we get to the communion part of the service, and they're all looking at me. And I'm going, oh, wait. They all want me to do communion. And so I broke all the rules, and I don't think it actually got on any official documents anywhere, so no bishop actually could yell at me about it, because, I mean, deep down, I knew I was breaking the rules, and I also knew that God had called me to this. And so we get to. We don't got to. I think the most important part of the Exodus text is the part that we always overlook. Those first verses, like a preamble to this law. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Remember, these are people who were under this brutal rule, and they were controlled. So they knew what the rules were. You wake up at this time. You go work in the quarry at this time. You might get some food at this time. You go back to the quarry to work. You might get to go to sleep here. And everything is dictated by this rule. And God starts out this new law with these freed people. I am the one who brought you out of this land. I'm the one who has given you freedom. So this is law that's given in freedom, law that we get to do, not that we got to do. But God knew that people needed some rules to help us better love and care for one another. And so God gives these rules, but he gives them to us in freedom. Out of this sense of slavery, out of this captivity. And so this law for our life is freedom to live with God and a covenant to live with neighbor. But what happens with that? It sort of gets messed up because we live in the world. We live in this world that runs us and races us, and what do we hear? We hear from one side, well, we don't know if we believe in your God. We don't know if we have to really follow your rules. You give us some signs. Show us that this God is really real. I mean, think about what the Jews said to Jesus. Their clergy came out to Jesus and said, give us a sign that you can actually do this thing. What right do you have in this place to stop what we're doing here, to run all of these animals out, to flip all these tables over? Show us a sign. And often, those of us who have connected with academic settings long enough get pushback about our faith. Show us proof. Can you run this through some peer testing? Can this be peer reviewed? And can you prove that this God actually exists, that this actually functions the way that science is supposed to function? And so to those, it's foolishness. The word in Greek is actually even deeper than foolishness. Foolishness is sort of a soft sell because we can't handle a word like pure insanity. Like to the world, they see what we're doing as pure insanity, as moronic behavior, is really what this Greek word stirs up. Because we believe in a guy who died on a cross, who we say 2,000 years ago raised from the dead. And sometimes it's hard to prove. Sometimes it's hard to put our finger right on it. But then we say, we live in these teachings that he has given us, and those are what we have. We live in these get-tos, not these got-tos. And so many of you know, I grew up in a far more conservative Lutheran church that probably teetered more on the got-to than the get-to, but this was the catechism book that I had when I was in catechism as a young kid. And it was interesting, with all the rules and sort of the explanations that are written in here, the summary to the law is this. Love is the summary of all the commandments. Love is the summary of all the commandments. And so this book that's put together by really conservative Lutherans, deep down inside, they hide down in here that love is what it's all about. And so what does it mean to live in a covenant of love? Let me think about that, stew in that for a second. What does it mean to live in a covenant of love? Not just for our God, but for one another, for us. That this law calls us into a deeper being with us. How do we love and care for each other? That I gets destroyed, and we become we. And we say one of the places that happens is at the font, that we die to the sinful self in the water. Yeah, as a pastor, you never actually tell parents that when you're baptizing a child, I'm actually killing your kid to Christ and they're going to be made new. But the I becomes we. And that we gets renewed at the table over and over and over again, a foretaste of that feast to come. And so here's a preamble for yourself. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of captivity. Because Egypt was captivity for them, but what's captivity for you? So I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of captivity, the land of this world, who says what you do is foolish, who tells you you are moronic, who tells you you need to give signs, that you need to show proof. I am the one who brought you out of this house of slavery to this world. Brothers and sisters in Christ, hear this word today, that freedom has been granted to you in this covenant. That so often we hear the law as something that holds us down and binds us to this unobtainable thing, but that Christ has freed us. That even in this law, given in love, we are set free to live and love one another. So how are you about that? That's how you know I'm almost done. Because I want to know how you're about that. I want to know how you're living this life of freedom. How are you connected to your God in this freedom? And also, how are you connected with the people you interact with every single day, whether it be on campus, whether it be in the community, whether it be in the nursing home, wherever you are, how are you living out this freedom? How are you loving one another? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the freedom that you give us in the law. Continue to send your Holy Spirit to guide our hearts and minds so that in love we can fully connect with you and fully connect with our brothers and sisters. In your heavenly name we pray. Amen.